It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right.
News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM. Phil Williams hosting Right Side Radio. Like the dude just said, solid, conservative, and just plain right. Hey, listen, the time right now, 3:07 p.m. I'm thinking it looks like President Biden is still having trouble getting his, according to the news alerts I'm seeing right now on the big screen here in the studio, still having trouble getting that 49th and 50th vote he says he has to have to get his spending agenda passed. Hang in there. Hang in there, Sinema and Manchin. My gosh. Isn't that amazing how much we're cheering for these two Democrats right now? But if you look at right now, too, what they're going through, I mean, you got... And I get it. I was a public official in the state Senate for 8 years. And there were times when, you know, it's just part of the process. People would contact me. People would, they'd have a complaint or they'd have, a, for that matter, an attaboy. You know, you go out to a local restaurant, you see people all the time that want to talk about that thing going on down in Montgomery. Just part of the process. I don't have a problem with that. What I did have a problem with, though, was when there were things that would happen like getting threatening letters at my house, and then you begin to realize some of them didn't have stamps on them, which means they came by and dropped them off in the mailbox themselves, and that gets a little weird. And then right now what I'm looking at, too, is like, you know, here we are, Manchin had people show up at his houseboat over the weekend and start yelling at him. Basically, it's like coming to his house. And then, you know, on top of that, we had Sinema, the worst one I've seen yet. So she had some liberal progressive activists, which, by the way, she used to be a liberal progressive activist. Kind of funny, in a sense, or ironic. But nonetheless, they followed her into the bathroom and kept the cameras on the entire time while she went into a stall to do what you do in the bathroom. And I guess she just had to do her business while they were out there in the bathroom filming the stall and yelling at her while they're in there. I mean, that's just unconscionable. And sometimes you look at that, too, and you think, like, I remember one time I had a guy, the teacher's union couldn't stand me because I wasn't a big fan of the teacher's union either. But I had a guy call me one time at 5 in the morning. And I'm an early riser. I usually get up around 5:15, 5:30 on the average. Nonetheless, this guy calls me at 5 in the morning, wakes me up, wants to yell at me at the phone. I said, why are you calling me at 5 in the morning? He goes, well, that's when I get up. I said, well, call back during business hours, and I hung up on him. One of the few times I ever hung up on somebody in politics. But when they do that kind of stuff, do they think it's really going to help? Do they think that suddenly you're going to go, gosh, I'm persuaded. I'm persuaded by your tactics. Well, listen, speaking of tactics, let me go to, okay, the triple dipper, all right? I've been saying the triple dipper are the three themes that I'm going to run with during the show. And the three themes for today, number one, I've already covered, and that's the fact that literally we're looking at an IRS on steroids. Pay attention to this and ask for your state and federal legislators to block this effort. But the next thing I'm going to deal with right now is the big tech is on its heels. Big tech is literally struggling right now, and rightfully so, and they should be. I mean, even as we speak, breaking news right now is that Facebook and all of its associated apps like Instagram, WhatsApp, and all, they're still suffering outages. They've been out all day. Kind of funny because they're on the heels of a whistleblower speaking in public for the first time yesterday, and I'm going to tell you about that in a second. But I want to remind you a few things about big tech first. I mean, just keep in mind, first of all, that your own governor and lieutenant governor have both had their campaign sites dealt with recently. Facebook took down Ivy's campaign page, and I believe they also put a warning on one for Will Ainsworth's page. I work at the Alabama Policy Institute also, and we had some of ours by Twitter flagged, which were nothing but conservative opinions. And it's amazing to me what they get away with. I want you to, so here's a piece. Gosh, who wrote this one? Oh, I did. So waiting on big tech to change, the big tech world to change, was an article that I wrote and was published in October of last year. So keep in mind, I'm looking at data that's a year old, but I printed this out to have it on hand because of this discussion right now. A 2019 Pew Research study found that 52% of American adults get their news from Facebook. 52% of American adults get their news from Facebook. Another 17% get it from Twitter. That basically means that technically it's like roughly almost 80% of news for adults is coming out of those two social media platforms. And then tech giant Google has been cited for having upwards of 80% of all internet searches and a full 94% of all searches on mobile devices. What that basically means is if they want to steer your information, they can. All right? It's like that song by John Mayer, Waiting on the World to Change. There's one line of that song where he says, when they own the information, oh, they can bend it all they want. And that's what we've been seeing. And they feel like they have impunity, all right? There are sections of the law that they rely upon that were never designed for this, but they have crafted the arguments legally to protect themselves. One of them is often known as Section 230. And all it was, by the way, originally passed in 1996, before we had all this internet capability, in 1996, to keep pornography out of the hands of kids as the internet was just starting up. It was never designed to do what it does now, which is basically give those big tech platforms the right to do whatever they want to do to govern the data on their pages or on their platforms. We got weirdness right now. I'm looking at a report. I've had it sitting on my desk for a while, so I printed this one out like, I don't know, 10 days, 2 weeks ago. Google has now launched a, quote, anti-racism initiative. And in that initiative, they claim that America is a white supremacist nation. Google. Google, by the way, has one of its major headquarters in Northeast Alabama, in Jackson County. Google. The general theme is that they are trying to constantly provide equity and allyship rhetoric. It's critical race theory stuff. And Google staff are forced to look at themselves through race and gender to manage their privilege levels. It's awful. But that's the platform, people. That's the big tech. But now let's take a look at some things that are happening right now, because Facebook is dealing with the fact that it is under fire. All right. Apparently it's having technical difficulties, period, today. But right now it's under fire because a lady by the name of Frances Haugen. And here's the thing. So number two on the triple dipper for today is that social media, big tech, appears to be on its heels a little bit right now. And a lady named Frances Haugen, she's got a degree in computer science and a MBA from Harvard. She was working at, she worked at Google, then she worked at Pinterest, and most recently for the last few years, she's been working at Facebook. She became very concerned about what she considered to be Facebook trying to profit upon people's demise, if you know what I mean. Profiting, basically not changing their algorithm. Despite the fact that they say they're all about safety and everything else, the end result of what they did was their algorithms supported moving towards negativity because they knew that negativity creates more clicks, and more clicks means more sales. I mean, what does it take right now? They had their sales have almost doubled in the past 2 years. They went from $56 billion, I believe it was, in sales to like $112 billion in sales just in a year. So I tell you what, let's do this. I'm going to go with Copper. You got clip four ready. So I tell you what, let's do this. Let's hear Frances Haugen and what she has to say in clip four. This one lasts right at around 40 seconds. Go ahead and play clip four.
From a variety of sources, that hate speech, divisive political speech, and misinformation on Facebook and the family of apps are affecting societies around the world.
When we live in an information environment that is full of angry, hateful, polarizing content, it erodes our civic trust, it erodes our faith in each other, it erodes our ability to want to care for each other. The version of Facebook that exists today is tearing our societies apart and causing ethnic violence around the world.
Ethnic violence, including Myanmar in 2018, when the military used Facebook to launch a genocide.
Now, right now, you're also, there's a lot of things happening that are not in the articles that are in my hands, but I've heard them in different reports. One of which I'm hearing is that, you know, how are all these folks from Haiti getting to Central America and then coming north in massive waves to the southern border? How do they know? I mean, did somebody give them a news story? What we're hearing is the cartels are very often using Facebook as its tool to guide things. The Taliban uses social media. The mullahs in Iran use social media. It's amazing how much social media is used and abused, by the way, by those who would do harm to others. And Facebook lets it happen. Now, Facebook, for, you know, first of all, isn't it still amazing that the President of the United States, former President of the United States, Donald Trump, is not allowed to have the ability to do mean tweets anymore? But yet, Facebook is truthfully not really about trying to protect its users, because they apparently know that negativity creates sales. And Frances Haugen went on, and I'm going to play you some more clips from this, and I'm going to tell you some things that are happening, and then I'll begin to also tell you, what is your state doing about this? Can your state leaders do anything about this? What about folks in Congress? What are they talking about? It's big doings, y'all. We're going to take this short break right now. When I come back, I'm going to unpack for you a little bit more about what's going on with big tech. Are they on their heels? Well, they're stinging right now because they finally had a true whistleblower come out. And there's parts of her testimony that are a little weird to me because it assumes that we should allow censorship. But nonetheless, she brings up some points that are extremely interesting. Like, did they know? Did they know that their software platforms were truly hurting teenage girls and creating a higher risk of suicide? I'll tell you about that in a minute. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right. We'll be right back. News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN. Phil Williams here, Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, just plain right. We're with you 2 to 5 p.m. every single day, Monday through Friday, on the biggest show across North Alabama afternoons. That's right, this one, Right Side Radio. Hey, listen, by the way, my friend Greg, thank you, Greg, for pointing out to me the New York Stock Exchange FANG Index has closed way below its average right now, and I'm looking, so when I scan the rest of the market indicators, so yeah, the FANG Index way down, the Dow Jones, the S&P, the NASDAQ Composite are all down. I mean, having a bad day on the market right now. Lots of reasons for that, not the least of which, though, is the fact that there is a massive amount of attempts to borrow and spend in D.C., coupled with the fact that the market freaks out when they don't have clear indication of whether they're going to raise the debt ceiling, which I hope they don't raise the debt ceiling. Start spending within their means for once. My gosh, $28 trillion in debt. How long do we keep going like this? But yeah, that's all fresh and breaking right now at 3:24 p.m. here Central Time on Right Side Radio. Hey, listen, so I'm talking about, though, the triple dipper, all right? The triple dipper for the day is this. Number one was the IRS is looking to be on steroids, all right? They want to get all in your business, more so than you've ever imagined. The next thing is, though, that big tech appears to be somewhat on its heels. Big tech right now is facing backlash in a number of ways, not the least of which is the fact that Facebook right now, which is still down, by the way, I believe, Facebook and all of its associates, I mean, all of them are just down. Kind of weird. But anyway, Facebook has finally had a whistleblower come out and says that she literally has a documentation which she provided to the FEC, and then she also filed a complaint against them, and then FCC, I'm sorry, and then she also went on TV and did an interview with 60 Minutes. So Copper, clip 5, let me know when you got clip 5 ready. So Frances Haugen is her name, all right? A master's in from Harvard, a degree in computer science, a long history of working for the major techs, all right? She was in charge of trying to sort of keep negativity off of Facebook, which means that she was basically a censor. But she also began to realize, wait a minute, Facebook doesn't really care, because if they can incite negative reactions, they know that negativity sells. Go ahead and play clip 5.
The platform.
Yes. Facebook has realized that if they change the algorithm to be safer, people will spend less time on the site, they'll click on less ads, they'll make less money.
Haugen says Facebook understood the danger to the 2020 election so it turned on safety systems to reduce misinformation. But many of those changes, she says, were temporary.
And as soon as the election was over, they turned them back off, or they changed the settings back to what they were before to prioritize growth over safety. And that really feels like a betrayal of democracy to me.
Yeah, it is. So let me tell you what that means, by the way. She didn't say it this way, but if she was in the office at Facebook that was helping govern quote-unquote misinformation during the campaign season, and then as soon as the campaign was over, they turned that off, that clearly indicates it was not about misinformation, it was about the campaign. All right, you tracking with me? What that means is if Facebook was allegedly working to quell misinformation during the season of the campaign, and then immediately after the campaigns were over and the election was, you know, in Joe Biden's hands, they then went back and turned off that algorithm that allowed them to manipulate campaign-related data or political data, it must mean that the question in their minds was less about the misinformation, so to speak, and more about adjusting things for the campaigns themselves. In other words, they were trying to put the fix in the Biden camp, in my opinion. But Ms. Haugen goes on to describe in great detail the fact that whenever there's a conflict between the public good and what benefits the company, the social media giant always chooses its own interests. Now, part of you would say, well, businesses are in the business of making money. But when you represent over and over and over again that all you are is a benign, special, you know, opportunity for people to bond and have a greater sense of community, and yet what you really do is you guide them towards negativity and guide them towards incitement and guide them towards divisiveness because you know that's what they click on, and that drives up your profits, then all you're doing is profiting upon discord, and that makes you a pariah, in my opinion. And Facebook is becoming a pariah. And she literally says in her 60 Minutes interview that she believes that lawmakers and regulators around the world have to begin scrutinizing what they do on social media because it's having a polarizing effect on society. Yeah, think? I'm just telling you, the fact that this is finally being said by somebody who was inside Facebook and not just, you know, oh, those silly conservatives talking about social media again. Well, listen, we're up against that break. And I've got to take this, but when I come back, I'm going to tell you some more stuff about how things are going with Facebook. I got another clip from her I want you to hear. And then I'm going to talk to you a little bit about what's happening in your own state. Can we do something about this? What can Congress do? How do we get there? How did it come to the point that a social media platform is where like 60% or more of Americans get their so-called news, which means if they own the information, they can bend it all they want? Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. That's right. You're getting the straight skinny here on Right Side Radio. We'll be right back. Talk 770 AM 92.5 FM WVNN live here Monday through Friday 2 to 5 p.m. And by the way, if you find yourself driving outside of the overly broad range of our AM FM capacities at News Talk 770 and 92.5, I'm just telling you, if that's the case, you're basically out of North Alabama, Southern Tennessee. But nonetheless, no matter where you are, just go to rightsideradio.org, rightsideradio.org, and just click listen live. And like I always say, wherever you is, there we is. But folks, I'm going down the line on this big tech thing. This Facebook thing is huge. It's a big deal because Facebook is being outed right now for the fact that basically it profits on pain. Are you hearing what I'm saying? It apparently profits on pain. An insider, by the way, not just a rank and file, but this woman has a Harvard MBA. She's got a degree in computer science. She's spent a great deal of time with Pinterest, with Google, and then with Facebook. She was someone whose role it was at Facebook was to help govern what they call misinformation, which, you know, by the way, take it with a grain of salt, because what that means is she was one of those who helped to censor. However, she began to recognize that Facebook really wasn't interested in trying to fix things and trying to make them, you know, less divisive. She began to realize the algorithms were set up to promote divisiveness because that's what clicked. That's how they generated clicks, and that's how they made money, a lot of money. So she's now filed, this Frances Haugen is her name, she's filed 8 complaints with U.S. securities regulators. She is literally prepared to take legal action if necessary. But all said and done, she has outed them. And one of the things she outed them on, by the way, was the fact that one of the internal studies, an internal study that Facebook reviewed, clearly indicated that their platform was harmful to teens, especially teen girls. So, Copper, if you got clip 6 ready, just highlight that yes for me if you do. I think yes, you do. Okay, this is Frances Haugen, Facebook whistleblower, testifying or attesting to in her interview with 60 Minutes that Facebook knows that its Instagram app is harmful to teens. Go ahead and play clip 6.
Yeah.
Evidence of harm, she says, extends to Facebook's Instagram app.
One of the Facebook internal studies that you found talks about how Instagram harms teenage girls.
Oh, yeah.
One study says 13.5% of teen girls say Instagram makes thoughts of suicide worse. 17% of teen girls say Instagram makes eating disorders worse.
And what's super tragic is Facebook's own research says as these young women begin to consume this eating disorder content, they get more and more depressed, and it actually makes them use the app more. And so they end up in this feedback cycle where they hate their bodies more and more. Facebook's own research says it is not just that Instagram is dangerous for teenagers, that it harms teenagers. It's that it is distinctly worse than other forms of social media.
Facebook said just last week it would postpone plans to create an Instagram for younger children. Last month, Haugen's lawyers filed.
And that's the case, by the way. They had one. They were an Instagram platform that was being proposed for children, because right now, apparently, you have to allegedly be, what, I think 13 years old to use Instagram. And they were going to have one for younger kids. At the very least, this whistleblower coming out has caused them to put a stay on that, an internal stay. But I'm just telling you, folks, this is sick right here. This is basically like saying, we're making people miserable, but it's okay because we're making money. And there's a lot of industries that do that. I mean, Big Tobacco got called out years ago. And Big Tobacco is now considered they're still very much a big thing. They still make a lot of money, but not like they used to. The Marlboro Man is not widely, somebody that you want to model yourself after anymore. It's no longer fashionable to light up in a restaurant. But all said and done, you've got a situation where, like Big Tobacco before it, Big Tech produces a product that they know is harmful, and they even style it to be harmful because that's what helps generate the clicks. And they don't care because the amount of money they're making off of it, according to this whistleblower, is an ungodly amount of money. And so what do we do about this? Well, here's some things you need to know, all right? First of all, there are things that can be done at both the state and federal level. Now, at the state level, it's interesting because we already have something in place. And I'm looking right now at a report that I pulled off of Yellowhammer. And I actually talked about it briefly on the show one day, just about, a week ago. Because this is only dated September 22nd. It's brand spanking new in terms of, its import. But Attorney General Steve Marshall and our own state Senator Arthur Orr, who is in this listening area in Decatur, state Senator Orr and AG Marshall have combined to bring together a big tech censorship prohibition bill for the next legislative session. And I hope they move forward on it. I hope they do. And it's going to be extremely important because of all the things I'm talking about right now, plus more. If you remember, there have been any number of times, like I said earlier in the show, when our own governor and lieutenant governor have recently been targeted by Facebook and had their platforms either deplatformed for a period of time. I think Governor Ivey was off for a day. Ainsworth had one of his posts taken down. Alabama Policy Institute, where I work, has had flags put on our content, which was so benign, I couldn't believe it. And so, all said and done, the Attorney General, his office has helped draft legislation that would make it unlawful for major online platforms to censor, deplatform, or otherwise discriminate against Alabama users. All right? That's a big deal. because it happens right now. It also says, too, that State Senator Arthur Orr will be the one to sponsor the bill in the upper chamber in Montgomery, and he's going to introduce it in the next legislative session. And Marshall has recently ramped up his efforts to rein in Silicon Valley. I mean, he calls them, by the way, the malefactors of big tech. Well, I love that. Big fancy word that means a bunch of bad guys with techie backgrounds. But last month he launched a new initiative that gives Alabamians the right to report abuses by big tech. He did it in collaboration with other attorney generals. And then just like 3 weeks ago, he also filed a brief in support of Florida's recently passed law, championed by Governor Ron DeSantis, which drew immediate pushback from the nation's largest online platforms. So our attorney general, our Alabama attorney general, is taking action right now on your behalf. Multiple ways. Joining with other states, supporting other states' efforts, and then also drafting legislation that will be proposed by our own state legislature for the next legislative session, which begins in January, by the way, and to carry it forward. And that's so, folks, you need to understand, just because they have a lot of money does not mean they can get around the law every single time. They can find carve-outs. They can try to find their ways of hiring lawyers to argue it. But in the end, if they continue down this track, they're losing their oomph. We're also seeing things happening up in D.C., so big tech on its heels. That's number two on the triple dipper today, is that big tech is on its heels for the moment. I mean, they're getting a couple of 1-2 punches that they didn't see coming. Number one is that whistleblower, and I may come back and see if I can play one more clip from her in just 1 second. Copper, I see you've got number three ready, so thank you for that. But if I can get to it before the top of the hour, I will. But also know this. Up in D.C., for instance, U.S. Senator Josh Hawley, who takes a lot of heat from the libs because he's a conservative, I mean, he's out there saying all the things they hate. But all said and done, he has introduced legislation. In fact, the one I'm looking at right now, he introduced it last spring. I think he reintroduced it again last week. But it does things like, basically, it restores accountability and competition in the big tech arena. And this would probably be, I guess we'd have to say this is like an antitrust or deregulation bill. And if you think back, by the way, a lot of y'all won't remember this, but I remember when AT&T was deregulated back in the 80s, I believe, late 70s, early 80s. I remember it distinctly because when Ma Bell, they called it, when Ma Bell deregulated, this is before smartphones and cell phones were in your pocket, folks, and you know that's when you had the phone on the wall with the extra long cord so you could talk in the next room. But back when the Bells, South Central Bell was ours, back when all the Bells were there, they were deregulated, and my dad actually formed a long-distance telephone company after he got out of the Army. He used some of his background and training and started up a long-distance telecom service. And Comtel, right in downtown Huntsville, on the corner of Clinton, downtown. And so the end result is, I remember when there were deregulations, and it was something that was hugely impactful. But we're looking at the possibility of the same thing here if legislation like this ever gets... Now, it won't right now, I would bet, with the Democrats being in charge. But this new legislation would do several things by Josh Hawley. It would ban major companies in the business of offering search engines and marketplaces from having third-party vendors of their own do all the selling and advertising on their websites. In other words, Amazon only allowing you to use Amazon Marketplace. It would also ban companies in the businesses of offering search engines and marketplaces, et cetera, from providing the online hosting and the internet infrastructure for third parties. In other words, Amazon, right now, if you didn't know this, Amazon owns much of the internet platform basing that you put your websites on. So if you're a conservative running for office and you didn't know that your website is hosted on Amazon-based platform, just understand, if they don't like your positions, if they think you're an anti-vaxxer or something else that they don't believe in, they can have you deplatforming. Your whole campaign website goes away. This bill would also empower the Federal Trade Commission to hire additional staff to monitor compliance, and it would also ensure that antitrust laws are actually enforced by authorizing state attorney generals and private citizens to bring civil actions. Now, that's going to be the big deal. When you start seeing big tech looking at the fact that they could face lawsuits in all 50 states from citizens who've been deplatformed or from attorney generals who file class action suits on behalf of their state citizens and businesses, that's when they're really going to get nervous. Really. So, folks, I'm telling you, big tech's on its heels. And when we come back from this, I'm going to wrap up that situation with the Facebook whistleblower, because her interview is extremely telling. And she has said some things that are remarkable. Not the least of which was the one about Facebook knowing that its own research showed that its Instagram app was harmful to teens, but it was not about to slow it down. Or that it knows that its algorithms actually incite negative reactions because negative sells, as opposed to this benign presence they claim to have, where they're just trying to make the world a better place. Well, listen, when we come back, Frances Haugen's last clip from my show today, she basically says that Facebook puts profit over people every single time. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right. We'll be right back. News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN. Phil Williams here, Right Side Radio. The time right now, 3:53 p.m. Coming up top of the next hour, you're going to want to hang around because we got Congressman Mo Brooks joining us. Going to talk about spending in D.C. and some of the same things that we covered down on the first hour, his perspective on the potential weaponization of the IRS. That's big doings, y'all. We need to hear from the man who's in the fray right now up in D.C. acting on your behalf. So listen, before I go too much further, though, got to tell you about my friends at eTaxBreaks.com. eTaxBreaks.com, pretty cool job when you think about it. How would you like to have a job where literally your role in life was just to find people free money they didn't know they qualified for? Oh, got your attention, didn't I? Free money you didn't know you qualified for. With 23 years of experience, my friends over at eTaxBreaks.com, and I call them that because I know them all personally, my friends at eTaxBreaks, literally their role in life is to look at the way you run your business, who you've hired, where you put your business, and then compare it to the over 3,000 programs out there in the nation that qualify people for tax credits, tax incentives, grants, all that kind of stuff. And then if they find you money, that's when they get paid. They don't get paid otherwise. And last month alone, the month before last, they just invoiced out over $7 million for their clients in 1 month. So folks, I'm just telling you, they're good at what they do. eTaxBreaks.com. And they got a special website, by the way, for Right Side listeners. Go to eTaxBreaks.com/Right Side. All right, listen, we're going to wrap up this discussion about big tech. Big tech is out of control in many ways. Big tech believes it's totally protected by Section 230. It's unreal, the fact that they can do the things they do, that they believe the laws have now been crafted for them in such a way that they are immune to litigation, to legislation for that matter, but not so. Because right now, states and federals are pushing back. Citizens are pushing back. And their own employees are getting fed up. Not the least of which is Ms. Frances Haugen, who came out as a whistleblower at Facebook and brought documents with her and did an interview on 60 Minutes and has turned over all of her documents to the Securities and Exchange Commission because she wants them to know. And she literally told us, by the way, in her interview, that Facebook knows that if it maintains things in a negative fashion, negative is what generates clicks and it will sell more. They know because their own research shows, and she's got the proof, that their Instagram app is harmful to teens, especially teen girls, and it drives up eating disorders and it drives up suicides, and they won't change a thing about it. It also knows, by the way, that she's got the proof, that allegedly when they were trying to clean up misinformation during the campaign season, they turned off that algorithm as soon as the campaign was over, which means they didn't care about the misinformation so much as they cared about guiding things for the campaign itself. Well, it's because that's how they profit. They profit off people's pain. Copper, you got clip three? Let's go ahead and play clip three if you're ready, please.
The thing I saw at Facebook over and over again was there were conflicts of interest between what was good for the public and what was good for Facebook. And Facebook over and over again chose to optimize for its own interests, like making more money.
Frances Haugen is 37, a data scientist from Iowa, with a degree in computer engineering and a Harvard master's degree in business. For 15 years, she's worked for companies including Google and Pinterest.
I've seen a bunch of social networks And it was substantially worse at Facebook than anything I'd seen before.
You know, someone else might have just quit and moved on. And I wonder why you take this stand.
Imagine you know what's going on inside of Facebook, and you know no one on the outside knows. I knew what my future looked like if I continued to stay inside of Facebook, which is person after person after person has tackled this inside of Facebook and ground themselves to the ground.
When and how did it occur to you to take all of these documents out of the company?
At some point in 2021, I realized, okay, I'm going to have to do this in a systemic way, and I have to get out enough that no one can question that this is real.
Folks, I'm just telling you, what you just heard right there was someone on the inside of Facebook who put it to the outside of Facebook. She got all the inside words and made them outside words. And she is showing the world right now that Facebook, with this benign little man who runs it, coming and testifying for Congress that all they do is care about just people having a chance to connect with each other. Well, those days are gone. It's about profitability, and they recognize that too often pain is what generates the profits. And incitements to violence is what helps the clicks. And that's what sells the ads. And they're in the billions, the tens of billions in their annual sales. And they're doing it on the backs of people, to include young children who they say their own research shows are harmed by this. Wrapping up that topic, number two on the Big Dipper. And I see I got a call. Let me go ahead and take one call in the last minute I've got. Lee from Huntsville. Hey, Lee, Phil Williams here on Right Side. I got about a minute. What's on your mind?
Hi, Ruffian here. Just wanted to let you know that if anybody has not seen The Creepy Line, which is a documentary on a lot of this, they need to look it up. The Creepy Line. I don't know if you've seen it, but it's excellent
not.
Exposing Facebook, Google, all of these. It's all power and money, period. They've gotten in bed with the Democrats in many ways by limiting any what they call disinformation, I'm using air quotes, or misinformation, or however they want to put it, on different subjects like elections, vaccines, et cetera. But at the same time, they are dangerous and divisive to everyone, and that's very true.
Well, Lee, thanks for the call, and you were so right. And that's a great way to wrap up this segment because it's exactly the kind of thing I've been saying. That's Lee from Huntsville. Appreciate you calling in, Right Side Ruffian. We know you are. Hey, listen, folks, stay tuned because right at the top of the hour, we're going to come back with Congressman Mo Brooks, who's also running for the U.S. Senate right now, get his perspective on spending in D.C. and potential weaponization of the IRS. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right. We'll be right back.